This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported, 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we are here until 11 o'clock. We are live, coming to you live from lovely East Hartford, Connecticut, from the hermetically sealed Tab Computer Systems Radio Studio. And so the show's a little odd here as far as Matt's picking up the calls for us. We don't have the power of doing that, and we don't even know who's online, so we're communicating through other means to know who's online. So thank you for bearing with us if we have any kind of technical issues. It's the first time we've ever done this in 25 years. First time for everything, Bob. But let's get back to Ron, who's in Florida. Still, you there, Ron?
Yes, I am.
All right, so we did some work here during the news break, and we're not positive if it's malware or not. There are some sites that talk about this in a malicious way, this HPQware. Other sites just simply say it's the HP.
It's part of the HP Advisor.
Right.
And that issues with this HP Advisor go back, I could find, all the way back to 1991.
Right. So I guess the answer to you would be to have you, what, uninstall the Advisor, Bob?
Yeah, if you really want to get rid of it, uninstall the Advisor and then delete the folder.
Okay.
The other thought, though, before you start deleting things, run Malwarebytes. Do you have a Malwarebytes utility on your computer, Ron?
No, I have Webroot.
Webroot's a good antivirus, but Malwarebytes is what I use as a remediation tool for malware if I get hit with it, which, by the way, I have not been hit with that any kind of malware on my computers since that day I turned my OpenDNS down to let my kid do a search for Japanese baseball players when he was in middle school. He's now a junior level at UConn. So if you use the right tools, you can prevent malware. But I would tell you to run Malwarebytes just to see if the free version, just to see if they find anything. I don't think you're going to find anything. I just think it's a poorly written HP tool that we haven't really come across as any kind of problem. I mean, Bob's in here forever doing an HP install, so we haven't seen it as a malicious tool. So in your case, it just could be poorly written and taking up some files that you don't have to worry about at all. Especially if it comes back that Malwarebytes doesn't find it as malicious, I wouldn't start deleting anything. Leave it on there. It's not causing any problems then. Does that make sense?
Well, except on my recovery disk, should I include all those? There's thousands of files there.
Again, it could be a poorly written utility.
Yeah.
Thousands of files in a computer world really are nothing. thousands, nothing. Millions. I mean, NASA stuck petabytes of data out there. I couldn't even give you the how many zeros as far as how much data that is. So don't worry about it if it's not causing any trouble.
Thank you. Another quick question, if I could.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, OpenDNS, I finally got around to trying to configure it.
Yeah.
And I looked up my router. I have a CenturyLink Technicolor.
C2100. Okay.
Technicolor, yeah. And it says we don't support this one. OpenDNS doesn't support it or something. But in the comments by users, there's one guy that said he finally figured out how to change the DNS lookup address on CenturyLink 2100.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it involves PPP0E with dynamic IP. Does that sound...
Yeah, PPPoE.
PPPoE.
Right, but the thing is, you need to configure your DHCP settings within that router, and that's obviously a more difficult thing to do. Is that CenturyLink router coming from your internet provider?
Yes.
Okay, so fighting the internet provider might be more difficult than it's worth. You can put OpenDNS on your individual computers as well without dealing with the router. How many computers do you have in your home?
Well, I have one computer and a couple, one laptop and a couple of tablets.
Okay. The laptop you can definitely protect by just adding OpenDNS's DNS IP information into your network settings on your computer. The laptops we really can't protect other than through the router. So you could also decide to pay for your own router rather than dealing with this CenturyLink Technicolor thing. Is there a way for you to go out and buy your own router?
Oh, yeah.
So if you think about that, get a modem and then a separate router, and now you're in control and you can deal with your network as you see fit rather than
It has to be a PPoE router. It has to be able to... it's a DSL router,
right.
Basically.
You're not connecting very fast down there, Ron.
No.
And CenturyLink is like the company that provides the internet service down
right
there. It's similar to our Frontier.
Okay. So you need a CenturyLink DSL modem and then a separate router is what I'd recommend. And then you can manage your router as you wish. And if you go ahead and look at computertalkwithtab.com, past links, I put a link up there to a router that I like. Might be a little overkill for you, but it works really well.
Okay.
Otherwise, just configure the laptop or computer yourself on a PC side, and those OpenDNS instructions are out there. Have you looked at those?
No, I haven't.
Okay, check that before you start buying stuff, because you can definitely configure your computer yourself.
Okay.
All right, Ron.
Will do.
All right, good luck.
Thank you very much, guys.
You're
Take
welcome.
Easy.
Yep, you too. Bye-bye. We're going to go off to, I guess, I'm not sure who's in order. Usually we try to go with who's online the longest, but I just write down what Matt's told. We're going to go to Cindy next, who's on the road. Hey, Cindy.
Hi, how are you, gentlemen?
Good, how are you?
Very good. I've been cable-free for many, many years, cut the cord many years ago, and at the time I had gotten a Mohu antenna, and it's starting to die. So I was just wondering what options, should I go with another Mohu again, or are there other options that are better? Just
there are.
Your opinion. Okay.
There are. Yeah. Bob put a whole link this morning up of the top antennas that you can select that are the most popular according to CNET. So you can actually review that article. But if you like the Mohu and it worked well for you, there's no reason you couldn't just get the same thing you're used to if you like the signal. Did you have any issues with it?
Occasionally we lose and everything would start to pixelate a bit, and that's why I think it's dying. Just because we get the pixelization more often now, and it starts dropping channels, and we do the research and search for new channels again, and sometimes we get them back, and sometimes we don't.
Now, spring is coming, and the leaves are going to start coming out, so if you get your antenna up higher, you may find, because the antenna is line of sight. So if you're obstructed, if you have a lot of leaves, if it's down low, you're not going to get as good a signal as if you could get it up nice and high.
Yeah, because currently we actually have it inside the house in the upper attic, just like the crawl space attic is where we have it currently.
Okay. All right. Well, again, you're going through the walls then.
If you have,
so
it
would probably be better outside.
It would definitely would be better outside if you're looking to make an improvement. It's all a matter of if you want to mount something on your house these days.
Yeah, it's going to have a lot to do with your geographical topology.
I know the guys, I think, at Perfect Vision and Sound in Avon might help you with mounting antennas or dealing with antennas if you want to give Bob Serio a call over there in Avon. He might give you some more specific advice.
Awesome.
But anyone that's out there, we got the link up here for you for the other antenna, so you can take a look at that too, Cindy.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you so much, gentlemen.
You're welcome.
Bob Serio.
Have a safe day. Okay,
you
great.
You too. All right,
stay healthy.
You too.
Bob Serio.
Bye-bye.
Can
Bye.
Definitely get fine-tune your outdoor antenna. If anybody's good at it, he's probably one of the best.
I would definitely agree. All right, before we step out for a quick break, we've got two lines open, I think, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Just want to bring up this quick article. Thousands of computers that were mining fake money. Remember the fake money out there? Called, I think it's Ethereum or something like that? I don't know. They're mining cryptocurrency, have been now switched over to dealing with this coronavirus thing. And they've got a site called Folding at Home, and it's very much like SETI. Remember SETI, Bob?
Yes.
We haven't found any extraterrestrials yet, but way back when we first started our Computer Talk with Tab show, there was a program called SETI where you'd take your screensaver time, and while your computer was in screensaver mode, it would process audio files sent down from the SETI folks to see if we can hear for any kind of regular transmissions that might indicate extraterrestrial life. Well, there's a similar technology out there for trying to figure out how to deal with this coronavirus, and it's called Folding at Home. And if you'd like to participate, the Ethereum cryptocurrency miners are starting to participate, you go ahead and get on this Folding at Home site, and you can actually have your computer start processing the information or help process the information to find a solution to this coronavirus problem. And adding more CPUs to this might shorten our scenario. Who knows? But it is an interesting approach, and it's something that's been out there, distributed computing, for a long time. We haven't found any extraterrestrials yet, but maybe we can find a solution to this issue. Problem, this thing, as it were. We'll step out for a quick break, get back to more of your calls. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. I'm waking up. Back. This is Computer Talk with Tab, and we've got a full board. Thank you guys for joining us on this rather odd Saturday morning, the new normal for now. Hopefully it's over quickly. We'll see how that goes. I don't know. Don't want to talk about my personal feelings about this scenario, but it's getting tough to deal with. But let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Roger in Middletown next. Hey, Roger.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
Question. I have a router and a modem, and oftentimes I run a cable to the computer from the router.
Yeah.
But do I even need to use a router, or can you run a cable from the modem directly? I mean, what's the purpose of the router? Is it just for a Wi-Fi signal?
Ah, great question. Generally, the router is there to hand out an address, an IP address. It is the thing that offers all your devices on your network a specific address so that they are known when you communicate. So when your computer goes ahead and searches Google, right, you go to the Google website, Google then knows to send the information back to your machine rather than to your wife's computer. Without a router to route that data, literally that's why it's called a router, you wouldn't have a way to have multiple devices on your network. If it's just one thing on your network, that one laptop, mm-hmm. you could just plug it right into the modem and call it a day.
Okay, that's what I wasn't sure of, yeah, if there was actually a purpose. And then the next question would be, can routers and modems get infected, and is there a way to check? I mean, if you have malware bytes for your computer, is there something that you do to check to see if they're not infected, or they just pass through and they don't get infected?
Great question. So routers and modems are not, quote-unquote, infected, but their iOSs are ridden with bugs. These are they're poorly constructed and have to be updated and patched. So a malicious actor is going to try to access your router using a vulnerability that's been known. So let's say your router is 5 years old, okay? And it's still running a five-year-old operating system, the operating system that runs the router to make it operate as a router. If a bad guy out there wants to access that router and he knows about how the vulnerability built into that five-year-old software can be leveraged, he then can access your network. So the way for you to prevent that from occurring is to always keep the firmware, that software that runs your router, up to date.
And do you do that by via your computer logging into, say, Motorola and putting in your brand of modem or router and it checks for updates and see if something's needed? Or because oftentimes I'll unplug my stuff when I'm done with it.
Well, you're pretty safe when you do that.
But I didn't know if it was automatically updating every time it gets turned on, or
only if you set it.
Go in. What's that?
Only if you set it. So if you go into your router config, you should be able to go to the settings within your router, depending on how current it is, and check the box that says automatically update. So when new firmware updates come down from the manufacturer, your router will automatically install them. The modem is not necessarily that big a deal, because your router is your deadbolt between you and the outside world. So if you're keeping that up to date, the modem is not as critical, although it does have firmware.
But if you bypass the router and just go straight to the modem, is then that exposing yourself more?
It is, and again, I think that's not a good idea. You want a nice physical firewall between you and the internet, and that's what that router does for you.
Okay.
Much safer that way.
All right, so just like a computer, set it for check for auto updates.
Yep, and you can't do anything about the manufacturer doing a bad job at writing firmware. And if you look in the news like we do constantly in our business, router issues are constant with poorly written software, vulnerabilities that are built in that you just have to wait for them to fix, because you can't turn everything off. It'd be crazy to turn all your routers off, wouldn't it? Wait a minute. Maybe that is how we operate these days. Who knows? But updating it is the way to go.
One quick thing. I think it was you that might have said that you prefer to use a cable oftentimes, if possible. But a lot of these laptops that I notice seem to come out, they don't have an Ethernet port. Is that correct?
No, they should. Many of them will have a way to connect an Ethernet port, whether it be a USB to Ethernet adapter, right?
Oh, okay.
Or they'll have an Ethernet port built in. Wired always works.
Yes.
Generally, always, unless you get a bad wiring job. Unless you had somebody wire your house that didn't know what they're doing, then you can have a poor result. But if they did it the right way, it always works.
Okay. Good to know.
All right, Roger.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
Take care.
You too.
Bye.
All right. Wouldn't that be crazy, Bob, if we turned all the routers off if we determined they had some sort of vulnerability? What could happen if we did that? No. Would that bring the entire world down?
Nobody could communicate over the internet.
Right.
We'd be going back to like 1980.
Yeah. Isn't that the approach we're using? I won't go there. let's go to Bill in West Hartford next. You there, Bill? Hey, what's up?
Well, I just had a quick question. I have an old computer. It's about 6 years old, and it has Windows 7 on it. I haven't been using Windows 7 for browsing, but I do have some other files I use it for. But I noticed I got a pop-up that said I had a Windows update, which seemed a bit bizarre to me. And I said, gee. And I looked. I guess last month I had gotten one in February. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's, I did click on it then. It said Windows Malicious Software Removal Tool X64.
Right.
And going back, I know once a month they were sending those back then. So I'm wondering, is this still legit?
Yes.
So what does that do?
So Microsoft has told you that Windows 7 is no longer being supported with updates of the operating system.
Right.
Yet they are being nice enough to upgrade the Windows Defender software that's built in, which is that malicious virus tool, a malicious software tool. So you can be rest assured that even if Microsoft has a hole in their operating system, the malware software is being updated.
I see.
The free stuff that came with it, which we wouldn't recommend you run.
Yeah. I'm sorry, you would recommend? Or
wouldn't. It's like the fox guarding the hen house, right? If they can't write the software itself to not have malicious problems, why would you trust the software, the malicious tool within it, to protect itself?
Okay.
You know, so, a third party, a different layer is usually a better way to go.
Uh-huh. Okay, so I should not click on this update.
Well, you can let it run. It doesn't matter. It's not going to harm you. But you should have your own tool, like a Webroot or a Malwarebytes.
Well, I have Malwarebytes, but as I say, I don't really use this anymore. I have a new computer with Windows 10, which I'm using.
Okay.
Have you noticed, has there been an uptick in malicious stuff since they stopped the support?
Not yet.
Uh-huh.
Not yet, but eventually there will be.
Okay, very interesting. All right, thank you very much.
You got it, Bill.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, the issue with Windows 7 and the fact that it's not being updated is that Microsoft's, obviously, there's issues with the operating system that we're not aware of. The bad guys are still poking at it, trying to figure out where the vulnerability is, and they'll keep poking at it as long as there's a good percentage of Windows 7 still out there. Do we have any percentage numbers, Bob, that you know of?
Well, let me check.
I mean, it could be a good chunk that are, there's probably still a good chunk that are out there. So if you got 30% still that are running Windows 7, 40%, the bad guys are out there spending time trying to figure out how they can get at that software. And Microsoft said, hey, we're not going to patch it. Now, they've said this before, and have patched egregious holes. So XP was patched many years after it was found, vulnerabilities were found within it that could cause massive problems to all the folks that still ran XP years after it was retired. I would not be surprised if Microsoft doesn't do the same thing for Windows 7. They've even extended support for older versions of Windows 10 due to this coronavirus. They've said, hey guys, out of the kindness of our hearts, we're going to change the arbitrary date of supporting an old version of Windows 10, I think it's 17 something, to a date sometime in a year from now. I mean, it's all arbitrary. They could do this at the drop of a hat. They could say, hey, the version you're running is no longer supported because a committee of folks at Microsoft said so. So same thing with Windows 7. Even though they're not updating it, if there's a big egregious hole they find out there, I could easily find them sending an update due to the quantity of operating systems that are out there. Did you find any numbers, Bob?
Yeah, it's slow loading.
At this site you're on?
It's coming.
All right, well, we'll get that that percentage when we get back from our break. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Everything we've talked about has been posted live by Mike G over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com, the name of the show.com, which also works. And if you follow us on Facebook and you like Tab Computer Systems on Facebook, it'll go into your newsfeed. We'll be right back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're here till 11 o'clock taking your computer calls, comments, questions, and concerns. Just driving in here to the hermetically sealed Tab Computer Systems studio here in East Hartford. Just driving in. Something's going crazy with you folks on the highway. The highway was empty, practically. I'm doing the speed limit, you know, 65, 69 on a, you know, right there. It's speed limit, no problem. I have people passing me on the right, easily doing 90 miles an hour. What is the hurry? What are you doing? Relax. Calm it down. Please. There's nobody on the highway. There's no reason for you to be speeding down there at 90, 95 miles an hour. I hope that ticket is worth it. I digress. Let's get to your calls. You're nice enough to join us. We're going to go to John in Woodbury next. Hey, John, you there?
Yes, I am.
What can we do for you, sir? Good.
Okay.
How are you?
I'm joining us at Open DNS.
Nice.
On a Chromebook I just got. And I'm at custom name servers.
Yeah.
And I've got OpenDNS on my regular computer. Or I'll set it up. Custom name servers. Now, I've got four spaces here. And I don't know which ones to put which numbers in.
They don't give you any labels? There's no IP information for DNS?
It says, well, custom name servers. It doesn't say, I've got no place to add open DNSs. But yeah. I do have custom name servers. I checked that. And now I just have four slots to put in numbers. And I'm not sure which numbers go in which slots.
Yeah, let me take a peek here for you. You found something, Bob?
Yeah, I got a link there for you.
All right. So what's he got to do?
Open Google Chrome, navigate to Chrome flags in your address bar, Omnibox. Find the flag you see below. They have actually a picture of it.
Yep.
And select the option that appears on the bottom of your screen to restart your device.
Yeah, so custom. You're exactly in the right space in the custom name server.
When I did that, I didn't have the option of doing what they said, so it said skip to number 3.
But you're at the custom name servers area, right?
Yeah, I didn't have that. And it says for the experimental static IP configuration.
Okay.
Enable static may not work. Disable it. So it says go to step number 3.
Okay.
The menu button in the upper right hand corner, and then you go to settings, and then you go to your internet connection, your custom name servers.
Yep.
And I'm down at the bottom there, and there's 2 boxes on one line, 2 boxes on the second line.
Right.
And I have 4 boxes, one on top of each other.
Well, in there, in the custom name servers, if that's how they're identified, you want to put the OpenDNS IPs in there. It's not going to harm if it doesn't work, but I would put the OpenDNS IPs in there. Bob, do you know them off the top of your head?
Yeah, it's right on the page.
I got them here on the screen.
Okay, good. So try that. I mean, that's where you're supposed to put them, and it should work for you. You don't need your IP address for your Chromebook. That can still be something you obtain from your router, but the DNS servers you should be able to set.
Okay, so...
You want to list...
208.67.222.222.
Look at you. Yeah, that's one of them.
Okay. And the other one
okay,
is...
Okay, so now I got to... Okay, go to the second line. Now it's ticking.
Yeah.
208.67.220.220.
And then I just repeat those on the third and fourth line.
There is a third OpenDNS IP you could use.
Well, actually, the other 2 boxes are the same.
Okay,
you duplicate it? Yeah.
Okay, so I just put them both in twice.
Correct.
Okay.
All right, go for it.
I'll do that. Thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's go on to Irving in Windsor. What's going on, Irving? Irving, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
What can we do for you, sir?
I was wondering, TV antennas. I'm thinking about putting one in my man cave, but I was listening to you guys talk about reception, and you had to point the antenna in the direction where the reception is coming from.
Right.
And I was wondering if you have multiple antennas, like splice them together or something, and point them like north, south, east, and west. If you had a 60-mile antenna and you hook like 3 more up to it, now you got 4. Would it decrease it?
I don't know.
Well, tying them together, you may get that to work, but it might be a cheaper solution to get the old-fashioned antenna rotor. So they have these antenna rotors that you can use that will turn it, and then based on a direction.
Right, and you'd still run it all the way down to your man cave. You'd run the antenna wire down to your man cave.
Yeah, because I don't mind sticking something outside near the chimney, but I just didn't want to, when I turn the TV on, like to get channel 8, got to have an antenna pointing that way. I was just going to have one on each end of the house, like the simple ones, that would work. Or
it
would
might,
it take some reception away from it or not?
It might work. So the thing, we put a link up to some of the best TV antennas according to CNET that you can go ahead and take a look at that on our website.
Okay.
I guess my recommendation would be to try it, right? These are not very expensive items. They're not, you can do them for like $20 or something like that.
Yeah.
And you could find that your reception's okay. You might only need a few channels that you want in the man cave. See if it works. Before you start spending all sorts of time and energy mounting things on your roof.
Okay.
That's what I would do. I have no idea if splicing them together works. I've punted the whole idea, and I do everything through streaming. So I use YouTube TV. I am very happy with that.
Okay, I'll try that.
Yeah, if you do some streaming, you're all done. Your man cave is now set to go.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, all my stuff, you know, I got everything from like Hulu, Amazon, YouTube, and all that. And
you do
Netflix. Oh yeah, Netflix. But I still want just local channels, like not just in this area, but as far as I could get. But I want to make sure I don't have to point the antenna, but it's Massachusetts. I don't have to turn the antenna that way.
Well, if you've got all those streaming, do you have YouTube TV or just YouTube?
Just regular YouTube.
Okay, so you may want to punt one of them, like one of your things, and try YouTube TV. There's over 70 channels, all your local stations.
Okay, yeah, I might have to try that then.
Yeah, I think you'd like that better, especially for the man. You might have to get it through committee. I think it's $49 a month, but.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, at least you got the man cave going.
Oh, yeah. It's almost done.
Nice. What do you got in there?
So far, I got bamboo floors, a lot of artwork that's, like, you know, geared towards men.
I'm not going to go there because the way that sounded. So is it like pictures of men or is it sports?
No. Stuff that men would like.
Okay.
Things like that. Like, you remember the old fashioned, the dogs playing pool.
Classic stuff.
Oh, yeah. Just all types of stuff that, you know, my wife don't like because it's too many.
Anything to keep the wife out of the man cave is what you've got on the walls.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
There
dogs
you go.
Playing poker.
Exactly.
Yeah, so
nice,
you know, it's almost done. Okay, well, thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure, sir. Good luck.
Okay, take care.
Bye. All right, you too. Bye-bye. I got my man cave set up. So my kids, we redid the basement a long time ago when the kids were little, and we were able to throw them down there when they had their friends over, and it was manageable. The noise is manageable. And now they're all moved out and they're all grown and they don't use the basement anymore. So now it's my man cave, my poker room.
Well, there you go.
But you can't have more than 10 players these days.
Well, how many can you fit around the table?
Oh, I can fit 10. but due to the current situation, we're going to pass for now.
So you can't take more than 9 people's money.
I know. It's crazy.
Or give more than 9 people your money.
Right. We can run out and get a gallon of milk today. We can get a gallon of...
Oh, that wouldn't be money. That would be toothpicks, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Sorry. Oh, when they play with toothpicks. Gallon of milk, gallon of vodka, but you can't pick up a gallon of paint. Let's go back to your calls. We're going to go to John in West Hartford. What do you got, John?
Good morning.
Morning.
I wanted to bother you with a couple virus-related questions that I think may be linked.
No bother. Are you kidding me? This is what we're here for. Are you there? Oh, what happened to him? Matt, did you just pot him down? Matt, did we lose John? I don't hear it. Matt went away. John, call back. I'm not sure what happened. I have no power over here in the hermetically sealed... So somehow we lost John. Call back. I'm not sure what happened there. While we're waiting for your calls, we'll step out for a quick break. We have Rich in Plainville on the line and a couple lines open for you. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We're here until 11 o'clock. This is Computer Talk. You're in lovely East Hartford in the Tab Computer Systems radio booth. We'll be back.
End of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world.
And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Let's get right to your calls before the top of the hour. And Dr. Lessie comes in. I'm sure he's in his green room, wherever that might be, to get ready for his program, Healthy Rounds. And I'm sure he'll be talking about this disaster that we're dealing with COVID-19. Let's go to Rich in Plainville first. What's going on, Rich?
Hey, how are you guys? I love your show.
Thanks.
First time calling in.
Oh, great.
Okay. While I was waiting, I came up with a third quick question, if it's okay. But I'll go with the first two.
Okay.
I recently bought a laptop, and I did not want to pay for the Microsoft Office. I found out I could download Libre.
Yeah.
For no cost. It seems to be everything I need. Any long-term problems with that?
Is it no?
Okay. No infections ever found or.
No. That's been a great open source.
It's an open source. It's an open source, not desktop, applications suite, if you will.
Right.
But the only problem that I found with the open source software is it doesn't work well with, like, your pointers. So if you use PowerPoint, You have a little clicker that makes it advance or go back and stuff like that. And I found that with the open source software, that doesn't work.
Okay, yeah.
Generally. Yeah, I don't need that. So I just use maybe some very simple Excel or graphs or sheets and composing some letters. Next question. I have a desktop that is dead. It's I still have the tower and the hard drive. I've got a lot of pictures that are still in it. I don't know how to get out of my late wife. I do.
It's pretty easy. If the hard drive's not dead, just take it out of the computer.
Actually unscrew it and pull it out.
Unscrew it, pull it out, and then go to the Berlin Turnpike cables and connectors, or you can go online. But if you want to shop local, if you want to shop local, which you should, go to cables and connectors whenever they're allowed to open, which I got a feeling they're not open now. And you'll get a an adapter, and you'll get a USB adapter that'll give your hard drive power. And you'll be able to plug it into a working computer, and then you can copy those pictures to your working computer.
Oh, really?
You should be able to, as long as the hard drive's not failed.
No, it's just probably the problem was trying to get into it. Something crashed, and it was preventing me from opening certain programs.
Okay.
And after 12 years old, I says, you know what? I think it's time.
Yeah.
And plus, it was an i3. It didn't have a lot of power. I might have overloaded it with Windows 10 and a bunch of other stuff.
Okay.
So so that's good. So just take it out, get a USB to that, and then the other end, put in my laptop and any USB port.
Correct. And then it'll be as an external hard drive, and then you'll be able to copy your data.
We'll power it. That cord will power it up also.
It should. Yeah, you need the adapter from the folks at Cables and Connectors that'll do both power and data.
Okay. Tell them what I'm going to do. They'll hook me up.
Oh, they will. They're very good.
Good. I know where that place is. I go by it all the time, and I've never been in it. All right. And the next question is on some of these software malware protectors, those sites that are out there for free software you could download. Which one do you think is the best, and is it even worth it?
Well, Malwarebytes is the software we recommend the most, and it does offer a free version. Just pay attention to what you're downloading and how you download it. Eventually, it will start nagging you to buy it. But Malwarebytes has been a good recommendation when you have malware. If you don't have any malware, then I would just recommend a good professional antivirus program called Webroot. You should pay for that. And
Webroot. Okay.
Webroot, and it'll protect your machine, and you do pay for it, but you pay for what you get what you pay for, right? So if you have the free ones are from the third world. You know, you're dealing
they
with
are?
A lot of them are. You know, they're from the former Eastern Bloc countries,
the Czech Republic, Russia.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't recommend using those tools, no matter how free they are.
No, I meant the free ones from the major companies like Kaspersky. What is it?
Kaspersky is Russian.
It is Russian. And so that's where, all right.
I mean, if you don't have any problem with Putin looking at your pictures.
No, I do. then you know what? I'm going to just spend the money and get a decent Webroot. Then it doesn't have anything on it now. It's new.
All right,
so I want to keep it protected.
All right, configure OpenDNS and get Webroot, and you'll be in good shape.
Thank you very much. Again,
you're welcome,
I love
sir.
Your show. You guys are so knowledgeable.
We do our best. We don't know everything, though. Thank you, though, for calling.
All right. Have a good Saturday.
You too.
And remember, stock up on toilet paper.
We have an article. We have a utility for that.
Casserole.
Thanks. Thanks. So, Bob, you had an article you want to bring up, how to calculate how long your toilet paper supply will last. Now, if you've got kids, I think all bets are off because, man, you never know what they're going to.
Yeah.
They go through it like crazy.
So this is a CNET article.
Or if you got a dog, my dog will actually grab the end of the toilet paper roll and run across the house and stream it down the hallway.
Well, that throws the calculations all off.
Completely. I mean, he's got a weird toilet paper fetish that we can't figure out.
Well, our cat likes to unroll it, so we keep the bathroom door closed.
Well, yeah, that's the way to take care of it. But it's inevitable. A kid leaves it open. Dog says it, sees it, and runs down the hallway. But what's the article?
So this is a CNET article. Handy coronavirus toilet paper calculator helps you measure your supply. Find out how many days of worth of toilet paper rolls you have left with this online tool. So with store shelves and online retailers currently running low on toilet paper or out of it completely due to panic shopping and supply hoarders, people might be wondering how long their stash of TP will last. Thankfully, the online coronavirus toilet paper calculator is here to help us all gauge our and ration our supply. Just tell the calculator how many rolls you have,
and how many
toilet visits you make per day,
and how many heinies, right?
And it determines how many days worth of toilet paper you have during the coronavirus.
You know what? If anybody uses that tool, you should just shake your head. Don't even bother with that.
Well, you know, it tells you what size
it's
you
crazy.
Put in, what size roll of toilet paper.
You got to put in the age of the kids.
How many sheets per roll?
No. There's no way that thing can calculate toilet paper usage in any way, shape,
or form. Yeah, it can. It's mathematical.
Yeah, okay. Wasn't it Sheryl Crow who said you had to only use one square? I remember her talking about one square.
Well, my dad said that when they were in the military during World War II, they were limited to one square, and he would explain how that was.
I don't even want to know. So, all right. Well, we'll put that link up there for you if you really want to use that utility.
Well, can I mention the companion one?
A companion one?
Yes.
That's just as silly?
Yeah, stop hoarding toilet paper. Make your own bidet, starting at $20.
Make your own bidet. Well,
that's what they use in most of the rest of the world.
Sure,
you know, we're here in America, we still use TP.
Yeah, gotcha. Well, we'll put a link up there for that as well. I want to thank you guys on this rather odd approach to Computer Talk with Tab. Our first time broadcasting from our hermetically sealed radio studio here in lovely East Hartford, Connecticut. Thank you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. And without you guys, we'd just be talking about our kids. I want to thank Matt for producing. I want to thank Mike G for posting everything live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's all there for you. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. And if you like Tab Computer Systems on Facebook, everything we talked about will get into your news feed. Stick around. Dr. Alessi's up next with Healthy Rounds. I'm sure he's got a lot more great information on this situation that we're all dealing with. So feel free to keep that going all day today. And I think we've got Will coming in, too, this afternoon. So stick around, WTIC.
See you next week.
Nothing is off limits as host Sophia Franklin dishes on her personal life, like toxic relationships, dating and hookups, and dealing with insecurities, all with humor and real talk. Find Sophia with an F on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.